to meet with an instructor. Okay, so we are now starting the final part of our agenda for this month, and we are going to talk about the 2015 agenda consultation.
And that's agenda paper 24A on the draft work plan. In this paper, we summarise the board's draft work plan strategy that's been derived from the messages received in outreach and in response to the request reviews. And there are two questions to consider today. Do you agree with the strategy to developing the draft work plan as laid out in today's paper? And do you have comments on the draft work plan itself? And I think the answer to that is going to be yes. That draft strategy is summarised in paragraph 28 of the paper, and it's based on showing a greater emphasis, I think, on implementation and the support of consistent application of IFRS standards. Standard setting that enhances consistency between individual standards and builds on our conceptual framework. Improves the communication effectiveness of IFRS standards by promoting the reporting of relevant financial information between preparers and investors through projects such as primary financial statements and the disclosure initiative, and also has a research program that is realistic and achievable. Now, using this draft standard strategy, the staff have developed a draft work plan for 2017 to 21 for discussion today. In developing the work plan, the staff are required to balance some contradictory messages. So, for example, respondents requested a period of calm, but they also requested improvements to reported information. And we also had to make some assumptions about balancing the breadth of topics that respondents would like us to address with the timeliness with which we can deliver those solutions, i.e. should we do fewer things faster? And throughout today's discussions, we'll also need to bear in mind that stakeholders' resources and our own are finite. So if we decide to add something to the draft work plan, we'll also need to delete or significantly postpone something else. So in April and earlier this week, you heard details of the messages received on a number of projects. You've also discussed papers in which the staff recommended that some projects be removed from the agenda. To help these discussions, I've handed out an aid memoir as a supplement to page 31 of the paper. And it just shows in one place the projects that aren't included in today's draft work plan, but which your earlier discussions have indicated you think you'd like to reassess once you've had a better idea of what the whole picture of the work plan looks like. There's no new information in this handout. It just puts in one place various sections that we've discussed in either earlier meetings or earlier today. So in today's discussions, we'd like you to consider each project in terms of its relative importance and urgency compared with the others. And I think probably the best way to answer both of today's questions about the strategy and the work plan is to grow through the draft work plan, which appears on page 29 onwards, project by project, to discuss the relative importance and urgency of each. And we can then go back and summarise that discussion to indicate what the revised work plan might look like, taking into account those comments, and also to capture any additional thoughts you have on the overall strategy of how we build up the work plan. As a result of today's discussions, we'll amend the draft work plan and take a revised draft to the IFRS Advisory Council in June. And then after we receive their input, we intend bringing the work plan back to you at the July board meeting. So if we could start going through project by project on the work plan. On page 29, this is the major standards level project section of the work plan and the other activities such as the implementation and maintenance activities and the PIRs where we have significant commitments already. And having listened to your discussions over April and May, I think that we're probably committed to this part of the plan unless you have any other comments that you'd like to include.
So, do you not first want an answer on the strategy, as you proposed, or?
We could look at the strategy as we would propose, but I think that we might find that when we're going through project by project, any variations to the strategy would come out as we reply to specific projects, so that it's sort of a workshop on the strategy itself by putting it in action.
Okay.
If that's okay.
So, page 29,
Page 29, we've got the conceptual framework, insurance contracts, rate-regulated activities, which has been shown to indicate the discussions that that's being reassessed in some way. Other activities, obviously implementation activities and maintenance, we're committed to doing that. PIRs we've discussed, and there are a number in the pipeline. And then SMEs will be required to carry out a review at 2019, but we also do interim assessments of SMEs. So I think in the staff view, we don't think there's a lot of scope to vary this section of the work plan. This section of the work plan. Oh no, Philippe, sorry.
I have a question. Somewhere you spell out the objective, a strategic objective of making our standards consistent with the revised framework. One candidate for that is liabilities. I don't see where it fits in this table, page 29. Is it part of the conceptual framework follow-up, or is it a separate project which I do not spot in this table? Maybe I forgot it, or...
But it hasn't been decided.
No, but I mean, we should make a decision at some point. Whether is a strategy...
On page 31, we do have liabilities down
as... To me, that is an application of the strategy. If we approve the strategy, it should flow from that, that we have to do something regarding liabilities. And so we would expect it to be somewhere in the program and to be approved relatively early, that we should do something, otherwise...
And when we discuss that individual project, then that would be interesting development of the strategy to have. Yes, so I think there would be quite a few points about both our strategy and the individual projects themselves which come out as we discuss the individual topics.
Daryl? Just to flag that on the SMEs project, we did state in our in the May 2015 IFRS for SMEs that we issued that we would ask the question round about in the next 3 months whether or not we needed to do an interim review. So that question will still come. I suspect even if we do decide to do it, it's going to be more in the order of maintenance rather than anything significant, but that is just out there.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We go.
No. One comment on the project I never the favor. That is regulatory activities. You know, I personally don't feel it will be successful, and of course, nothing to do with me because after I retire from here. But I have one suggestion to the board or particularly to Jen. I never feel to classify possible special standards into three different models is correct. Asset liability approach, revenue approach, or cost recovery approach. You know, we should put them together to consider. And of course, country may have variance. And so if we want to go further and make possible to succeed, I don't think, to classify into three categories will be more easier. This is only my minor suggestion.
April, could I ask you to clarify one thing on the PIRs? As I understand it, that includes the ones we'd already talked about, which is 9, the 10, 11, 12 package, and I assume also IFRS 5, which we've talked about, but I think isn't mentioned separately.
13.
Sorry, 13 as well. Yeah. I said 9, I didn't mean 9, I meant 13. but it is including IFRS 5.
Yes.
Oh, it's listed here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. As April said, I think page 29 speaks for itself. So. Mm-hmm. I think we have any opportunities there.
Now, when we start to get into, I suppose, what are the more difficult decisions, is when we start on the research program, which begins on page 30. On page 30, we have 6 projects which the staff suggested should be on an active agenda for reasons which we've discussed at various times over the last month or two. You'll also notice at the bottom of page 30, we note that there are 2 projects which are currently on the research program, which we expect to wrap up this year, and that's discount rates and share-based payment. And so they aren't envisaged as continuing on through 2017 onwards. But with just a consideration of the 6 here, do we have any comments that you'd like to make now that you've heard discussions of a wide variety of programs? as to whether you think these are suitable candidates for the active agenda or whether you'd like to consider that further.
Now, if the outside world sees this table, they would be thinking that we were planning to research dynamic risk management for 5 years and primary financial statements also for 5 years. I hope that that will not be the case.
I hope they'll change phase.
So this is misleading. And dynamic risk management, I think it also remains to be seen whether we, you know, will even be working on that for 5 years. Do we get us close to a solution? That we haven't reached that point yet. So I find this misleading, this presentation.
Hans, is it partly that because these projects currently are active, it's all on the research page? Sorry, because these projects currently are research, they're on the research page. I think what the staff is assuming it goes into active standard setting.
Yes.
The combination of research and standard set. I mean, we can talk about whether we should really expect it to run 4 or 5 years, but I think that this wraps in the standard setting phase, assuming that the research leads to standard setting.
It's also said here, so it doesn't include significant activity, standard setting.
Yeah.
So this is assuming that...
Yeah, but it says including significant... Yeah, it's you have to do something presentational that makes clear that this is we're not going to be studying for 5 years. And it's also not, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion that we will spend 5 years on dynamic risk management.
So why don't we use question mark like rate regulated activities? So we have two question marks on the rate regulated activities.
Yep.
So first column
or is make an arch presentation, do something there.
I think we didn't want to make this too sophisticated and try and make forecasts of sort of when
that
research phase might
but this is too unsophisticated.
I think the objective here would be for each of these projects, the intention is to take them to a standard at this point in time. So I think in just understanding whether we want to say yes or no to FICE project, we need to know that if we're going to take it to its logical end, it is going to take 5 years. Right. So I wouldn't sort of end it off for a year. I think it's right to emphasize that this includes a standard setting phase.
Part of the research phase is that you want to make sure you're going to bring it to the end, and which means you are not sure yet that you're going to bring it to the end, or in that the end will be standard setting. The end might be we don't think there is a standard to be written.
Yeah, and the main thing we're trying to do here was show the resource demands. So we don't want to sign up to research now if we know that we won't have the resources to deliver a standard setting phase if it's needed.
In a timely manner.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing to bear in mind about our process is that at any stage you can decide that you don't want to consider with a project, not just the research stage, but at any stage a project could be axed. So the comment applies to sort of all of the work we do. Yeah.
Okay, well, look at the presentation.
Yeah. Okay.
Sue?
Peter said what I was going to say, which is I think we put the shaded boxes here, even though we would expect something to either be elevated or end, I guess, as a result of the research sooner than this shading would suggest, but to give us an idea of our resource demands, but also how much we might be asking of stakeholders as well, right, to try and get the balance right, consistent with your strategy. Just a couple of comments on the things that you've got on here, if it's the right time. I think I agree overall with the things that you have on here. I think the one that causes me to pause maybe the most is dynamic risk management, just because of the feedback we had, which sort of highlighted, unsurprisingly, I think, that it's sort of a very important issue, but to a relatively narrow range of people. Having said that, I think the people who care about it a lot, which is why I think on balance probably should be on here. But it is a tough one because I think it's very resource intensive for us. And the other comment I was going to make is that I think this is based on the assumption that we are going to beef up the capacity we've got, because I know that the FI team at the moment is stretched in terms of getting, you know, continuing to support IFRS 9 as well as doing FICE, as well as trying to move forward on dynamic risk management, and I think that's implicit in here, so we should be able to see some more action.
Another comment I have is that I think we should try to group the projects that are all part of this improving communication effectiveness of I4S together and present them as a, try to present them as a whole, although I understand they have different strands. So that people start understanding that this is one of the major themes of the next five years. So, and I would include in that financial instruments with characteristics of equity. Plus, of course, disclosure initiative and primary financial statements. I would make those the top three.
Yeah.
And perhaps put an accolade there. These are the improvement of communication standards. Amaro?
Just maybe two things. First, I think the papers are, this paper is excellent. I think you did a huge exercise and facilitated significantly in clarifying the strategy that you had in mind about the agenda. I noticed that you probably followed the alphabetical order here with the projects. That's why it's difficult to identify. So, but we have, I think one thing that we have to take into consideration is how people will receive these. We'll notice that it's alphabetical order, or we'll notice these as a priority in terms of our time and dedication. I think first reader would think that the very first priority is business combination instead of FICE, for instance, that I think is at the moment is significant and very pervasive, not only in Europe but almost everywhere. So thinking about this, I think it's important. And it's
sorry Mara, do you think we should try to put these in some sort of priority?
Yes, I do think it's worth trying, thinking about.
Because we did the alphabetical order simply because we didn't think we could do that.
It was neutrality.
Yeah, well, that's so if I think we should think about the potential reaction of the readers with this. Some might think, I didn't notice alphabetical order. Is this priority? What is that? Just bear in mind when having the final report. And as up to this point, that it's difficult for me to dispute what we have here. I think it's very much what people think. And when I look at the what we have to discuss next, I didn't see narrow scope projects in here. So I didn't see in the appendix. I know you know. So when do you expect to discuss? After we discuss this table, I'll let you know why. Because I think we should also have in mind the possibility of projects with very narrow in scope that can be significant gain in terms of reaction to people.
I left on your desk a handout, and on the back page of that there were four topics which came up in the recent discussions where we thought that although we weren't doing a large project, we would do possibly a narrow scope. So we've tried to pick up...
After this, things. We'll discuss
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I think. Thank you.
Just a question on that. Back on page 29, there's a line, implementation activities. Does implementation activities include whatever narrow scope projects we decide to do?
Yes.
Okay, so the place they'll be on the work program is under implementation activities. It's just a question of,
when
us then has to we have to decide which ones.
Yes, exactly. That was my question.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
We go.
As a Omalo, you know, in general, I feel that the whole document is very, very good, quite pragmatic, and I feel it is operational. One comment on the disclosure initiative and primary financial statements project.
Sorry, wait a
minute. Yeah. My feeling is if we do want to finish something, you know, Hans won't finish within 3 years, you know, and we should have a presumption that is we will not fundamentally change the current disclosure structure or principles, and we can only make some kind of amendments, you know, either minor or, you know, medium-sized amendments. I don't think, you know, for example, the performance report to provide more guidance on subtotals, in my view, is a big project, you know. So unless we have such a common understanding, otherwise I feel it's hard to finish anything even within 5 years. This is my first comment. My second comment about this Conrad project, I discussed before the meeting with Peter. I have two suggestions. First suggestion is, before we finalize and publish the current draft, I feel we need to a little bit more work, not too much, too much, and to improve, particularly in the second phase, that is, what's the actual practice? Because the problems we found in this first stage, in the standards, either inconsistency or, you know, the unclearness, it does not mean we have to do something, because in reality, people don't care. You know, they may already form a general practice, which is generally accepted. So I think need to do something to improve the quality of the any report we finished. And secondly, I'm not sure whether we should ask a few questions about next step. And I personally will not expect we will have a separate project of this kind of rate. But at least we publish something and should not put on the shelf, ask people, how do you feel about the future? And ask a few simple questions, not too technical. Peter, how do you feel?
Okay, let me explain what I think we're doing in discount rates, and Aida, you can let me know if I get any of it wrong. So I think, first of all, we need to bring something back to the board to close off on some aspects of the previous discussions we had. I think there's some room for debate about exactly how much of that we need to bring back. You know, there might be more sort of more minimalist approaches or more wide-ranging approaches, and I think we're still thinking about that. Secondly, there's the form of how we produce the wrap-up document, and we've talked about this in sort of general terms, but one option would be to produce the kind of summary statement we were talking about earlier this week and just point back to the...
Do you think this is to do with the agenda consultation?
Yes, I think it is, because I think it's about the assumption here that we'll wrap up this year, so I think it's probably worth just summarising what we're thinking of doing on that, so you're comfortable or not with how we see it going. We could either do a short document that points back to the staff papers that have already been done, or we could go with the original idea, which was to work up those staff papers into a kind of more polished document, which will probably require more board time, I think, to discuss that, because I think the board would want to have more input into that document. Then there's a question of what we do next with that research. Now, I think at a minimum, we've generated a list of items that we would need to think about in future projects as we come across discount rate issues. And we need to sort of pull that out in a form that's going to be usable and accessible for the staff. Further question is whether we would do either a general project, standard setting project on discount rates, or whether we would do any targeted projects at this stage. And I think our assumption is that the board is unlikely to want to take on standard setting projects at this stage solely on discount rates. Of course, there might be discount rate dimensions to other projects, for example, if we did something on pensions, but not specifically on discount rates. And the final thing is, as we said earlier in the week, we think the work that's been done needs to be documented in a way that's visible and retrievable so that we can pick it up again in future if need be. So that's underlying our assumption that the work on discount rates will have been wrapped up by the end of the year, and hence it's not appearing on this list as something that's continuing in 2017. Did I get that about right? Is that sort of what we're assuming?
Are we not discussing negative interest rate?
We've been thinking a bit about negative interest rates. I think we're probably still thinking about that. We haven't got a plan at the moment, I think, to bring that back as a discrete topic. But I think that's one of the things we'll think about whether we need to bring that back in some way in the remaining board discussions.
Okay.
Daryl?
I agree with the way Sue described the dynamic risk management project. And I think I'd add one extra thing there is that your first description was a narrow group of people but who care a lot about it. But I think we've also done a lot of work and we've got a lot of intellectual capital invested right now in the progress we've made on it. I'd also like to steal that description though and say I think that the same type of thing I think applies to business combinations under common control. It's a fairly narrow group of people, but those people tend to care quite a lot. The distinction I'd make there is I'm not sure we've invested nearly as much in that one. And I would think if of these, what is it, six projects, if there was one that I would feel tomorrow's thing should be on the bottom of the list, it's probably that one. I raise that in the context of what April said up front, is if we want to add something, we should be prepared to lose something. So I think it's on your separate schedule, but the idea of doing something in the extractive space, I think it's still one that I'd like to raise. I'm not sure if it should be now or later.
I think probably later, and okay. We'll circle back and then see if we do need to take things off.
Raise now or edit.
Thank you. Generally, I agree with their proposal. However, if you see that page 31, there are many inactive research projects. May I comment on this too now?
Yes, although I think it would be useful if we looked at all of the other research projects as one, because I think the point of this exercise is to look at them all relative one to another. So if we finished with page 30 mm-hmm. and we start looking at the research projects, then I think it might be an idea to look at them as a whole.
Can I ask a question then about page 30? I think I know the answer, but I want to put it on the table. Page 30 has six projects on it. Projects are not equal in size in terms of stage of development or resource demand, but in the staff's view, having looked at resourcing, making assumptions about us staying steady state, both for ourselves and probably for stakeholders, do you think this is kind of the full capacity of what we can manage as an active research project, including anticipation of likelihood of some of them moving to standard setting?
I think, as Peter said, the reason why we've put this extended timeline, it would be if we run to completion. Yeah. And if these were to run to completion, I think we're absolutely at our limits. And as someone mentioned, we have some constraints even within this, because dynamic risk management uses many of the same skills that FICE would use. Perhaps, as Daryl said, if we're talking about resources, the one where we've got fewest resources at the moment and less committed resources would be something like business combinations under common control.
And I wasn't trying to assess them individually, but especially if I focus on 2017 and 2018, you think this represents the maximum operating capacity,
I think,
including
yeah.
anticipation of the previous page and when things finish and how?
The answer is yes.
That's the basis that we did.
Okay.
Something has to come on.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the end of our resource pool, and that's why the other topics, I think we should all look at
it. I thought
that,
but I think that's...
Yeah, no, it's worth making that point, thank you. So turning to the points which are for discussion, and as we've said, on page 31 we have the five topics which, when the staff tried to put together the draft work plan, we thought we couldn't support resources to put these on an active research project. I've then handed out a page which we've just done, and I'm sorry it's not been posted on the website, but it doesn't contain a new analysis. It simply puts in one place projects which over the papers have been not taken on to the active agenda for reasons which were given in the individual papers. So on the supplement to page 31 we have extracted two paragraphs from this agenda paper. Paragraph 68, which is about mineral resources and extractive industries. Paragraph 69, which lists those projects which we proposed removing from the draft program. And then overleaf, there are projects which were discussed this morning in agenda paper 24C, other projects which have been nominated by comment letter respondents, but which were not proposed to put into the work plan, as well as for narrow scope amendments that arose in the discussions of much larger research projects. And the reason we put these together is that we think that if you look at these topics in comparison with the five inactive ones, which the staff have already indicated we didn't think we had the resources for. It lets you look at all the areas that you want it to keep open and come back and revisit in one handy place. So that's, there's no significance into the order or anything like that. They're just points which we feel over the days and months that we've been looking at this, you've indicated you'd like to think about this in terms of the whole work plan. So I think perhaps if we just follow the same pattern and just go through them project by project to see the depth of interest that we have in taking these onto the work plan, and also we consider if we were to do that, what we would like to sacrifice to do that. So if we could just look on page 31, the original inactive projects which were identified by the staff, the first one which was equity method, which we discussed this morning.
Sorry, so the purpose of incorporating a list of inactive research projects is to tell the outside world, these are projects that we are not, that we do not currently have resources for. If we had the resources, we would like to do
these are projects.
So these are first in line.
These are projects which are formally on our existing research program, but which we think going forward we should not have as an active research
program. Yeah,
there are two reasons. In some cases, it's because the resources aren't available at the moment. In other cases, it's because we need to wait for something else first.
Okay.
So for the equity method, for example, we said we want to hold that back until we've done some of the PIO work.
But in itself, it's a bit odd to put in a work program things that you're not going to work on.
Well, what
we're... So what is the purpose of this? Is this this is the waiting list?
I think that the notion is it's a planning cycle up to the next agenda consultation.
Exactly.
So it's an indication of what we plan to work on over the next up to 5 years. And so these are things that they're not ripe for active work now, but they will be at some stage during that period.
So we'd hope to be able to start these ones somewhere between now and the next agenda consultation, but not straight away. The ones we'd start on straight away are the ones on page 30.
So it's pipeline.
Okay, exactly.
So this inactive...
Pipeline.
Pipeline projects, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But still for the coming period.
Yeah.
Can I...
Sounds a lot better than inactive.
Is it worth telling Hans why you put the inactive label on that? It came about because a lot of people were concerned. A lot of people who responded to the agenda consultation said you've got this ridiculously long research.
No, I understand.
And so it was to try and address that.
So I, you know, it's fine to keep the word active for the truly active the
pipeline.
But inactive... For a lot of people, they will not understand what it is. Pipeline, I think people.
So this is our order book.
What?
Order book.
Yeah.
Does that translate?
I was thinking inactive pipeline.
Pipeline.
And could we try to schedule the order book in terms of which ones comes to production phase, in terms of sequence, and just not sitting on the order book, but maybe having a kind of tag order of priority, and I would put. Provisions, contingent liabilities are the first one. I agree it depends on the completion of the conceptual framework, but if I'm not stupid, I think we will have done it by the end of this year or early next year. So that should clear the way to start relatively soon, because we will have a sound conceptual basis to update IS-37. And one of the reasons why we undertook the framework was because we knew we had a problem with 37. So it would be strange to wait a long time before we undertake the consequential work. So maybe this one should come on the agenda a bit earlier than, say, maybe as soon as we have done the framework.
I think it would probably be over-engineering to put them into a sort of a strict sequence, because I think it might depend on a mix of factors. So I think we just have to sort of manage that as we go forward and see how it goes.
I don't want to over-engineer, but this is also something that will be communicated to the world, and people need to have feeling as to whether we want to push it very far away down the road when they expect us to do something relatively quickly on certain of the areas. And that may not be a huge project, because if I got it right, the scope that we have discussed as a potential scope is not that large. It's not going to reopen everything in IS-37 as we may have done years before. It's more limited amendment to the recognition of liability. So
well, the board hasn't actually had that scoping discussion yet, in fact, and that will be the first step, I think.
I mean, the staff has a view on that, as
yeah,
and communicating with some board members.
I'm not entirely sure I'd want to be too specific about the order of preference here, and I think it's rather than put it in a priority list here, because I think, as you say, there are factors, and I think one of the factors might be an emerging issue that becomes urgent over time. Another may be which resources are available within the entity and within our partner organisations on this. So I think that's quite important. What I wanted to flag just here, and I think it does fit to a certain extent in the same way as we describe common control and dynamic risk, is the one that does concern me a little bit that we're not getting into immediately, is the pollution pricing. I think that is an emerging issue. I think it's one that's going to sort of come out of the blue as these things suddenly start to become valuable and start to have a real effect on people's financial statements. Right now, we kind of get away with it because although there is diversity in practice, the valuations that are ascribed to a lot of these things are relatively low. And I think I said it when we discussed this last month, I do also have a concern that when the new conceptual framework comes out, it may cause people to reconsider the practice here, because the practice here right now is done in accordance with the conceptual framework. So at the very least, I think we need to be keeping quite a close eye on that project. I think it does. It's the one that worries me on this list.
Yeah. Yeah, so that should be on top of our list.
It should be at the back of our mind.
Yeah. I was actually surprised that it was in the inactive list.
Pipeline, we call it.
Yeah. Mary.
Looking at the list, April, your challenge to us, I think, is, a couple things. One, Daryl said he thinks he doesn't particularly want to put priorities on them. I'll go one further, which is I particularly don't want to put priorities on them. So I think it's more precision than is realistic, because looking at this, it's unlikely that we're talking about starting any of these at least till late 2017 is, you know, my first guess. Second thing is I understand that if you want to take something from page 31 and move it to page 30, then you have to tell you what I want to move off of 30 into 31. I don't have any of those. I do, however, when I look at your addendum, have something that's on the addendum that I'd like to put on 31. Now, is that a one-for-one rule also?
We're going to discuss that list later, right?
I think actually Mary's taken us to the next point, and it's quite true. If we have a pipeline on page 31, and these are candidates. Now, some of these candidates you might think should be accelerated right up onto the active agenda. Some of them might just go into the pipeline. We haven't assessed what these are. We've got some scope perhaps in the pipeline to add a modest one or two projects, given that it will extend the pipeline. And we're not going to start immediately. But we don't, even in the pipeline, we're assuming that they can only be in the pipeline because we will have resources in a couple of years' time to do that.
Because we're only putting it on here if we think it's realistic to say we're going to start the research
before 2021.
So we have something visible for the next agenda consult for people to say, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. I have something that indirectly ends up being about page 31, because if I have to prioritize, I think I'd be willing to sacrifice something on this page. Do you want it now or do you want it later?
Yeah, no, let's.
Okay.
Let's talk.
My candidate.
I think it's more orderly if we.
Okay.
If we go through.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So if those are all the comments on page 31, shall we start going through project by project?
Just one comment. When you talk to advisory council, maybe next one.
Yeah.
So you're asking us some comments on the prototype meeting. The first thing is we better emphasize the importance and urgency of project before explaining our resources. Regarding what resources we have, I guess, you know, if they are based on the agenda consultation, such kind of demands must be respected very much.
Okay.
That's one thing. Another thing is your evaluation on the National Student Sectors Cooperation in paragraph that's 39 and 44B. Your evaluation is very negative in having a kind of such kind of cooperation. However, it seems to me it's kind of against the trustees' the advice, you know, on this more strong constructive cooperation between the regional bodies and national student sectors. But your conclusion is so negative; it's unlikely to have a good.
Where is that negative conclusion?
Paragraph 39.
39 and 44B.
In paragraph 38 and 39, we discussed the effect that national standard setters helping us would have. And although it gives us access to a broader range of knowledge and as an additional resource, there is quite a lot of overhead internally if we're to maximize the use of them.
I'm saying, you know, that anyway, that's very quite against the trustees, you know, suggestion.
I don't think so, because I think what we're saying is it will be important for us to work with the national standard setters on that for a whole variety of reasons. But it would be a mistake to think that by working with them we can suddenly do a lot more projects for two reasons. Partly because it will still require some resources here to interact with them. But I think more importantly because there is a limit on what stakeholders can absorb.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know, they are currently from for the past history it might be your analysis might be right. But if we provide a package to work with the national standard sectors, for example, IFREC, they are doing a really great job, you know, in doing this kind of thing, you know. So actually, frankly speaking, that's a little better. That I'm saying, you know, many issues are analyzed in depth and width is very good. So I'm saying, you know, even though we need a kind of a monitoring, maybe, personnel in our side, but if we provide some kind of a good package, you know, some kind of a some good outcome from this cooperation. If we expect this kind of form for the future use of our STEM members, then this kind of arrangement, you know, if we just focus on a little more on this cooperation, then the trustees will be happy, our regional bodies, national STEM are happy. Also, in addition to that, that's why I'm saying on page 31, some issues can be dealt with at the same time. You know, maybe we shouldn't say inactive. Maybe some the national standards, some regional body can do some kind of research work for us. For example, you know, pollutant pricing mechanisms is quite the contemporary very important issue, I guess, in especially European countries. So what I'm saying, you know, if we say this is a pipeline project, you know, inactive project, then the outside stakeholders might think we are not so sensitive to the, some kind of change thing. Current society. So that's what I'm saying, you know, if we don't have our insight or some resources, then we can give some kind of a good cooperation opportunity to others.
I think Chang Wu has a point in the sense that when you look at these projects on page 30 and 31, so pipeline and active, I don't think there's any where we now are actively working with the national standards.
Combinations under common control.
I don't think that's true.
No.
Is there one?
Standalone project.
Football and impairment. Yes.
Think about today.
Huh?
Think about what we just did today.
Yeah. Okay, that's one.
But also, even if we work in partnership with people, I must say I certainly think that it's a hugely valuable relationship and we should leverage it as much as we can. I certainly agree with that. But also I think if you look at what we've been criticised for over the last few years in terms of efficiency, it's the sorts of projects where we've done work, then done nothing with it, or where we've gone through multiple exposure drafts. And so I think what we need to do and what the staff are trying to put us in a position to do is to do enough research ourselves initially to do good problem definition and scope projects, etc. And I think it's almost the most critical stage of the project. So I think we need to really be most closely involved early in the phases, which is, I think, partly what the staff is thinking for why, for example, we're not in a position ourselves to scope and give enough direction to somebody to ask them to do work on pollutant pricing mechanisms.
Well, that I agree completely with. For example, Ian had a very good suggestion yesterday to use the national standard setters for extractive industries like we have done in the past, but we cannot just dump it on them and ask them, can you make some disclosure requirements, because then the risk is very high that in the end we'll say we don't like it. So we have to start by doing work ourselves. Having said that, do these projects, have they really looked at what once we have defined the problem, can we use the capacity of national standard setters? Because then it could alleviate our workload.
That's an exercise we're going to be starting actually after this discussion now. Michelle and I and some others are getting together to start thinking about that. And I think it will be important for us to work with national standard setters because they have some specialist skills in some areas. They're closer to the ground in some cases, and that's going to be very valuable to us. I think they can help us fill in some specific spaces where we've maybe got particular things that are missing. But I think it would be a mistake to think that they can provide a dramatic increase in the overall capacity because of the need for the board to be involved and because stakeholders have a limited capacity as well.
Yeah, but it could help.
It can help. Yeah. And I think it's important as well. It's not just a capacity issue. It's important for us to work with them.
Okay, but it's something to look at, to be that we can look at later, hopefully. And hopefully if we find room for national standard setters to step in, it might mean that we start dealing with some pipeline issues earlier then.
It does, and actually I think if we have projects where national standard setters are doing something for us, I think we should classify them as active rather than pipeline, because I think from the outside perspective, the important thing is whether his work is being done with it. So it's not particularly whether it's being done by us or by some
national standard sets can only start getting involved after it's off the pipeline and active.
That's right.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if we find room for national standards to step in, it might lead to some extra resource, which may lead to us to activating projects earlier than otherwise would be the case. Okay, Mary?
I have a comment about working with the national standard setters, but I can do it in combination with the supplement if it's time. Have we killed off the comments on page 31?
Well, yeah, let's first see if we agree with page 31 as it is.
And I think at that stage we agree with 31 as it is, subject to any discussion we want to have on any of the other projects.
But there is nothing there that we say in no circumstances should we even consider it. All right.
So if we move on to the supplement to page 31, and folks, if you haven't got a copy, they're on the table with the copy. And these are in no particular order. The first one was extractive industries, which we discussed yesterday. And I think as a result of that discussion, some board members would like to rediscuss that or raise some further points.
Yeah, I wonder if I could speak on that again. That I've been listening to this conversation about how we can only get national standard setters involved later, and I understand the reasons for that. But this is actually an example where they took it from the beginning and came up with a very good discussion paper. So I'll just be a bit careful about those comments. Yeah, that being said, that discussion paper is there. It's been on the shelf. Those countries, as far as I'm aware, which was Canada, Australia, South Africa, and Norway. I don't know about Norway, but I think the other three, and I don't know that Norway's not, but the other three are definitely still interested.
Norway is as well. They said in their letter.
Russia is also very much interested.
So. And I will still concede that that doesn't mean we don't have to do any work. I understand all that. It needs to be supervised. I think actually at this stage it's more critical than at the beginning stage, in fact, that it's kept online. But I made the point yesterday what I think the demand for it is, and that it's a real hole in our literature, and it has been now for however many years. It's time we put it on the active list.
Daryl?
I'll pretty much agree with everything Ian said, and as I said yesterday, I think we can break this up into pieces to make it easier. I think focusing on the disclosure stuff, might make that an easier approach to take on it. I think the indications that I've had from the one or two standard setters I've spoken to from that original list is that they have the capacity to look at it. The other thing is from the capacity perspective in terms of our concern about our constituents looking at this. We're targeting a specific group of constituents that haven't been involved in quite a lot of the other stuff we're doing. So that might also mean that it's slightly less pressure on the constituents. But I would certainly, as I say, I think we can start something with the standard setters, and my inclination at the first instance would be to drop something if we needed to off the page 30 stuff.
Which one?
Common control as a starting point. I think this is, for example, far more relevant in terms of market cap of the companies involved, in terms of geographical spread of the companies involved, in terms of their actual international structures. I think it's a very significant industry, and it's likely to have a far greater impact in terms of actually having a standard out there.
So should we, sorry, I'm jumping ahead a bit, April, to a question, but if we've identified that as a potential trade-off, should we put that in the paper that we bring to the advisory council with the pros and cons as one of the questions that was raised?
I'd just like to think about this a bit. Rules are rules, and it's good for us to have a discipline when we're doing this. And one discipline is you want to put something on page 30, you've got to take something off. But it ain't necessarily so. I mean, this is a good judgment call by the staff on how much capacity we've got. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could tackle it with the advisory council. You could add it on and say that it'll be a stretch. But I'm not totally convinced that the seven on page 30 are that our full capacity, and that's that.
Or we could decide to hire some more staff.
Yeah. It's useful as a starting point, I think, for us to think about what we would sacrifice in. Because I think that's almost us doing what Amara was suggesting, is a little bit of a priority list on page 30. And if we can do all seven, well then great. If we can't, which is the one we think would drop off.
Can I just ask, Ian and Daryl, we know, are very positive for this. As an indication, how positive are the rest of the board members?
What was the question?
To move it to page 30.
To move extractive active industries to the top.
I am very positive.
To page 30, to active.
I don't know how we start that.
No, I think we would have to hire people.
I think what April's suggesting is we would drop something else.
Well, what I'm just suggesting at this moment is that we have a short list from all of the ones on these two pages, just to see that the ones that we really want to reconsider.
But the other thing I'm hearing that's important from both Ian and Daryl is what they're saying is not put it on, instead of, they are saying put it on the active and get working on it. They are not saying put it on the pipeline.
Yeah,
I just
put it on the pipeline.
Well, I just wanted to clarify what, because I think there's a big difference.
And that could be perhaps a further iteration of this. For the time being, I think we should just focus on which of the ones do we not think we can ignore. And it looks as though there's a real groundswell that we cannot ignore extractive industry.
When I thought the plan from the staff was done on existing staff, and especially senior staff who can lead the project, and if we would maybe say with hiring, I think then we can only put it on the pipeline, because my understanding is, okay, we starting with this program then immediately, and the rest is maybe then if we get more capacity. So if we hire staff, more capacity, then it should be logical wise on the pipeline and not on the priority.
I think once we know which ones we think we can't ignore and we have to put somewhere, then we can do that as a second stage. I think, I know it seems cumbersome, but I think if we could just go through this page and get rid of the ones that we don't think we are that interested in, and then with two or three ones that we are think that we're interested in, then we can think about, are they so good they've got to go on to 30, or can they go into the pipeline?
Maybe one comment, but is it interested in, or really, because man, I think the trouble which we had with the last research project, that showed a lot of interest, but little bit was done. And I think we should not come to make this failure again.
Sorry, that was sloppy English. I meant sort of important and urgent to address rather than just interesting.
Can I suggest this project, you know, I think at least board members should have one or two of the discussion or educational meetings first, then have a relatively clear sense whether we should put on, you know, because I think nearly all of the most of the members not involved in that documents. Mm-hmm. Personally, that document's quality is very high, you know, no doubt. But we, as Dello said, if we want to pick that one into our active agenda, we have to, you know, scope in very short. And then to make such a decision, we need to know first.
No, I think there's a fair comment here. This is probably the topic we've discussed the least of all the topics we've discussed in the last 2 months.
Because we haven't had much background to it. I think it's a fair point that if we were to take this on the agenda, it should first go into the pipeline. Well, so that we can at least take a look and we don't have... I think we can only do a major thing like this if we indeed would hire some experts. And I said before that we have some room. So it would have to go to the pipeline.
And then perhaps the question would be, and I think somebody asked a question about what goes to the advisory committee, and possibly it would be worth just putting it in grey on that page for the advisory committee to consider, so that they're at least seeing it there.
I think that.
But everything's in terms of this particular project,
it's going there with
don't count on the outside world telling us to do it, because the outside world is living with US GAAP, and US GAAP is also is a standard with a lot of choice. People are happy with it because it's not too strenuous. So people are not going to tell us, please do this.
But I one thing is, I think we need to remember that the decisions we're taking today are not the final decisions.
Yeah.
The decisions we're taking today are the straw man to go to the advisory council and get their input so we can make decisions, you know, come back after we have that advice. So that's one thing that maybe argues for highlighting where we see tensions or where we want more input, not to make the decision for us. And
also, there's always a step-by-step. So, I mean, Wei Gu's point's quite correct. We don't know enough about the scope of the project and all that to make a firm decision, but the decision I'd like to see is it's worth investigating. I wouldn't want to put it on the inactive research projects. I want to put it on active research projects.
But we don't have staff.
Before we start adding too many projects, I think there are constituents out there who want there to be fewer projects and more people attached to them, and I know that's something that the board has touched on as well, so we have to keep mindful of that as we go through this discussion.
Yeah. Well, you know, in those terms, what we have in front of us is much more disciplined than what we had.
That's true.
So that is already a big step forward. But of course, the the temptation is always that there are always things that are urgent. I must say, I find it also rather unacceptable that we don't have a standard for such an important part of the economy.
Gary?
Back on page 30, and I appreciate the working rule is if you want to put something from 31 onto there, you have to take something off 30, but I don't know that it's an all or nothing. As I look at some of these projects, like business combinations and our common control, we've been working at that for 2 years, and if I remember the schedule from earlier this week, it's 2 years from now you have a discussion paper. So you start wondering, well, we've done a lot of work. Maybe we just say we're done with all the evidence coming through is saying, looks like for the common transactions looked at, predecessor method seems to be the prevalent method out there, and no one's complaining about it. You know, so you start wondering, should we just stop? You know, and just not declare a victory, but just we're not going to do any more. We know enough. Maybe we can't answer every question. We can answer half the questions and just get it done. The same thing in disclosure initiative. I agree POD is important. I agree materiality is important. But you really need to do a standards level review subset is in lieu of something that's on page 31. So I'm saying some of these projects, we don't necessarily have to do everything that's currently envisioned in there if you're looking to find some time on page 30. So I look at, you know, 31 is if I was as an outsider, if I was reading this just as written, I would say the next two projects coming up are pollution pricing mechanism variable, because all it says is when resources are available. All the others are contingent on other events happening. So the walk out the door conclusion is those are the next two that make their way to active. I don't know if that's our intention or not, but that's how you'd read this. And likewise, you know, provisions in IAS 37. It says unlikely to start before 2018 or 19, depending on when conceptual framework is done. Well, that should be done early next year. You know, why are you waiting perhaps up to 2 years to start it? So I think 31 sort of leaves me, I appreciate it's a five-year window, but realistically, from this date on, it's a six-year window we're talking about. It just seems very open-ended, and it seems to me a little bit tighter would be useful.
Now, one suggestion I feel, Gary, such a very, very wonderful personal view. For example, this Goshi initiative, we propose have a, you know, standard level review. You know, one case is if the whole society accept the proposal from New Zealand, the organization's proposal about how to structure the disclosure requirement, start with objectives and others. And I personally feel even we can get there, but whether we should do immediately to have a standard level review and improve the other specific standards, I don't think it's so urgent. For example, the old standards like PPE inventories, nearly no disclosure requirement, or the quality of disclosure requirement are not so high. But whether it's so urgent, so I think his suggestion is wonderful. If we say no, we will not do so, then we have room to go.
This is going to be a very chaotic discussion, but I think we'll have to let it go for a while. No, Mary, Sue.
But I think that's why the staff have got this idea of this pipeline list, because the idea here is as things come off this research agenda, and we may, as we go through them, narrow them in scope, drop them, move them up and do a big project, maybe a bigger, you know, may grow. But as that happens, naturally, then we can start to pick stuff up off here. So what, in a sense, the staff have tried to do, which I think is a good idea, is to try and make this as flexible as we can, because if there's one thing I've certainly learnt working here, it's so hard to predict how these projects are going to pan out and how long it's going to take. By having this list here, which I think the staff have put for us here, an idea of what it is driving timing to help us with our decision making, it gives us the maximum ability to best use our resources so we can slot the right people in the right places as time and capacity comes up for us and our stakeholders. So I think it's not meant to be a straitjacket, it's meant to be to give us the most ability to manage this forward planning in such an uncertain environment.
Yeah, and also sometimes there are dependencies between projects and we might not be able to forecast now what all the dependencies are, and so what makes most sense to do in the future, we might not be able to predict today.
I think we have to be careful about saying, you know, we'll get more staff, because it's hard to get new staff in with standard setting experience to come in and run projects. It's easier to get people in to help at lower levels of the projects, but I think one of the key things apart from stakeholder capacity that the staff has looked at is what senior resource have we got to staff these projects in a way that we can move them forward more quickly than we have in the past to show some output and completion.
Stephen.
In the supplement that you provided, you've split out the narrow scope amendments. And on page 29, you've done the same thing for the projects. You've got implementation activities, but they're not listed separately, they're just bundled together. The pipeline or the research agenda doesn't differentiate between those which are expected to result in narrow scope amendments, those which potentially could result in standards level, and the inactive, the pipeline likewise. Would it help to have a more of a differentiation between narrow scope and major projects? Because it seems to me that some of these inactive research projects are highly likely to be narrow scope. So the variable contingent consideration, the IS 37, we're not going to be considered the whole of IS 37. So the intention is narrow scope.
The reason why we use narrow scope amendments on this particular, these four things, is because the larger topic that they related to was rejected, but that we thought that there should be a narrow scope thing that came out of it. So the significance of narrow scope here is that there a side conversation that was had when we decided not to go ahead with a larger research
given
project?
The organization structure that we have, would it help to have a narrow scope pipeline separately identified? Because you see, some of these what look like major projects, to my mind, could easily be narrow scope. So high inflation, for example, there is a narrow scope change that could be made there, which some of our constituents have been asking for, makes it appear like it's a major project. And if it was a major project, then I would say yes, take it off the agenda.
Well, that's why it appears on the next page over as exchange rates for high inflation, where you put an unknown.
Well, I think that's slightly different.
Oh, is it? All right.
Completely different.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Is it different for them?
Steve's talking about the high inflation.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah. Okay, so that's true.
Yeah, but it also reappears as a narrow scope, doesn't it?
The two different projects.
Yeah, there's two different.
There probably should be two narrow scope amendments on this schedule of the narrow scope amendments.
I just feel it might give people
scale.
Better context and scale by differentiating between major projects active,
yep,
the possible major projects research active research pipeline, and then having a completely separate set of narrow scope. So actually identifying what narrow scope things we have active at the moment instead of just one line, but sort of break it out.
Well,
and then also identify a pipeline of narrow scope amendments that we think are justified given the nature of the issue we don't have resources to do at the moment. So I would put IS37 as, well, we're waiting on that because we're waiting for the conceptual framework to be finished. But if it were finished, then I would say that should be in the pipeline for a narrow scope amendment as and when resources become available.
I think Stephen's idea is excellent. I was taught, I had thought that I tried to work out when I was looking at this, and I called myself, I did a what I called quick fixes, but I guess it's a very much aligned with Stephen's idea.
The only slight problem with that is that it prejudges the research phase. So
I don't think it does. So there is research projects that could lead to major standard setting, but may be scaled back to narrow scope. And then there is research activities that we do not anticipate will lead to a complete major standard setting. So I don't believe that we're going to enter into any IS37 discussions with the intention of fundamentally changing IS37. Maybe I've got that wrong. Yeah. It seems to me that it will be a more narrow scope change considering what we've done in the conceptual framework.
Does that mean you think we could do more if we did it that way?
Well, I'm saying it might help us think... Well, I think it would help because it would give a sense of scale, so it would help present. And I think it would help us internally, given the organizational structure with the separate implementation narrow scope amendment sort of team.
But doesn't that slightly reflect the fact of where we are in the life cycle of any given project? So we've come to the conclusion that IS37 could be a narrow scope amendment because of all the research that Joan's done up until now.
Can I ask a question, though? Because even though we haven't presented it this way in the paper, Peter, hasn't it sort of been implicit in the way you've looked at resourcing that you've got a broad, rough idea of where you think the scope's likely to be anyway? In a way.
Yes, it is. Let me make a couple of comments. One's about the general suggestion, which in a way I like, but the thing that worries me slightly is there are quite a lot of sort of short-term things which you could call short-term research pipeline. I know there are things that bubble up out of the implementations committee. And I don't know that we necessarily want to go through a very disciplined routine of putting them onto a kind of short-term pipeline and then flushing them through the system. In a way, these are ones that have come out of possibly larger projects that we've probably boiled down a bit. So although I like that idea, given the history of where these particular ones are coming from, I'm not sure we want to put ourselves into that straitjacket for the future. On the specific case of the I-37 one, I mean, I agree it's highly unlikely the board's going to go for a fundamental reconsideration of the whole of IS37. But I think you haven't yet had enough of an assessment to know whether, for example, it's just going to be looking at the definition of reliability or whether you look at some aspects of measurement. I think it's unlikely you'll look at every aspect of measurement, but it's still an open possibility whether it's looking at some sorts of measurements. So it's a narrower scope amendment. I'm not sure it's necessarily a very narrow scope, but that's still, I think, for the board still to look at when that comes back.
Yeah, but just what Steve was, and I support that, we are not going to redo any fundamental conceptual work on 37. We are just doing it at the level of the conceptual framework. We define the liability. Then it is up to the board to decide how big a project we want it to be. If we decide to go for a limited scope amendment, we don't have to redo a lot of research on it.
No, no, we've done a lot of the research, but I think the actual project, the results, exactly how narrow or broad that scope is, I think the board hasn't yet made that decision.
But
My main motivation for suggesting this is because I would like to have the pension accounting on the list, and I think
now the truth show your true colors.
The truth comes out now.
Maybe it's not entirely narrow scope, but
I
felt at my I presented it that way.
Narrowish scope.
And the other one is the high inflation, because I do think there is a quick fix without reconsidering the whole mechanics of inflation accounting.
What is the quick fix?
Change the scope.
Did it drop 100 down to the 26%?
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, okay, just do you want me to explain that? But
no. Well, no, I understand. I just want to make sure. That's why I thought that.
Four things accumulated. One is going back to Chung Wu's point about working with national standard setters. I think his comment, his reading of the paragraphs in this paper make me realize we have to be very important about how we communicate this. I think I think the point the staff was raising is absolutely on point, that we can't say all we need are a few more resources and we can increase the capacity of output, because we have to think about both our stakeholders and the board engagement. I think, based on what I've heard so far, that we probably should say we will seek to involve national standard setters as we move things onto our active research agenda. And that doesn't mean only then, but it means, I think, starting then. And one of the things from Gary's point about both active research, what can we do, and what are we implicitly saying on page 31, is I think we do have to find some way of giving a bit more sense of scale to 30. I mean, we've tried to do it with the time boxes, but not sure how long something is going to take is always a measure of how big an issue and how many moving parts it has. And I think we just have to ask the staff to take that away, both to remind us to have a good discussion with the advisory council and to communicate effectively. The other thing Gary highlighted is that whatever we say in status and potential timing column on page 31 could be both very informative and very strong signals. And so let's all think about what other comments. But I do think it's something we should plan to put out at least to the advisory council and probably in the feedback. And I think one of the things we can think about putting in here is an identification of those projects for which we think national standard setters, research by national standard setters, could be a useful partnership once we move it to the active research agenda. It doesn't mean we can, that happens when it's here, because I think we have to regard active research as, our constraint on how much we and our stakeholders can process. I think from what Steve was saying about maybe the way to address how sprawling is the project and how much resource would it take, whether it's on page 29 or 30, I think there is some value in trying to distinguish at least those things that we think are major projects versus other projects. And other could range from, I mean, what we've called narrow scope to date is far tighter than what we're using loosely narrow scope for today. But I think we have major projects, we have the true narrow scope, and I think somewhere in between is more targeted projects that don't have as long a life cycle or requires much.
I'm a little bit worried about this use of narrow scope because everybody
right.
connects it to IFRIC and
small
changes to
right.
standards, and it's very
it's not
different
that.
From what we're talking here.
Right,
about
which
here.
Is why I don't think we should misuse narrow scope when we're doing the planning. And then the last, I'm going to the comment that I was waiting to make is, of the list of things on the appendix, I think high inflation should go onto the pipeline. I think it would be a limited rather than a massive one, but I still think we have to do research before we move ahead with it, so I'm not saying it's immediately onto active. And I don't think it's immediately on active, and I think we could work with NSS when it comes to the time that we can do it, and if you make me chuck something off, I might chuck off the SMEs that are subsidiaries, but I think that this is one I could argue you add to the pipeline and see where it comes in the queue without having to chuck something off because it is that smaller scale.
I agree with you.
Those are my four.
Martin?
The question on this pipeline list, man, we have already 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 projects, and based on the staff planning, I think if I look, this is more or less right, we're looking for the next 5 years, man, I would assume maybe we can start 1 or 2 of that. And we are now debating should we add another project to this. So I don't understand the whole discussion, really. And the question, really my question is, man, when we get capacity, do we then discussing again this projects on 35 and deciding then which should go then on the active, or what is then the procedure, what we think? I think that is a, because in 2 years' time, the world can be different, and we need a discussion if we have capacity, what's going on. We cannot decide now.
I think you've got a good point there, Martin. I think this is a good discussion to have every 5 years and try and get a broad strategy in place, but it's got to be flexed.
Right, but if it is flexed, then I would not really, then we maybe put this inflation and others on this list and decide when we get capacity, but not taking now maybe hours and hours to discussing that instead of starting on the active. Because I think it will be, if we get capacity in 2 or 3 years' time, then we have the discussion again. And why bother now if high inflation isn't on that list or not, because we're discussing it again.
But I think the idea of the pipeline is that we would look first at what's in the pipeline rather than looking for things.
Yeah, but the clear message is now what we are working on.
Yeah.
I think it is a little bit artificial now.
If we would not put high inflation on the pipeline, then everybody would think we are never going to work on it. Or at least not for the next time.
Yeah, and if we don't have it, and if we have capacity in 2 years' time, then we get another letter from class and saying, okay, now you should consider, okay, if it is now on.
Because that will be the second rejection.
Yeah, but my point is different. My point is, okay, what is active and what is deciding.
But I do think we have to be disciplined about how many we put on pipeline. Because we don't want to repeat our last agenda consult with a research, 20 items on the research agenda.
And we really have to prevent drift in the activity agenda, because that's what's plaguing us all the time. And I really liked what Gary said about that. If we have already been working for two years on the business combinations under common control, and then to spend 3 more years on it, it sounds just so excessive.
But it's partly because we're so resource constrained. We've spread our staff so thin.
That comes back to this point about fewer projects and staff, because on that particular project, we've had less than half a person. And that's the reason why it takes time.
Yeah, but at some point, have we done enough work to say, look, we've got a few of the subsets on that one done. The world is sort of on board with price accounting. Just declare victory, say that's going to be the project, and for all the other tentacles of it, they go into an active.
And not have a discussion paper, for example.
Yeah, go right
to
all the feedback says predecessor method works.
Yeah.
It might be detailed.
Yeah, that's something else that we have to that we could discuss. Anyway, Daryl.
Just to support Steve's view on just thinking about the narrow part of the pension project. And we talked about it yesterday. We said that this was something that was causing a heck of a lot of havoc out there. And if I compare that to something like IFRS, the SMEs thing, the SMEs for subsidiaries thing, a lot of jurisdictions have got a solution for that. They're doing it already. Whereas the pension is causing problems with real companies out there right now in terms of how they're thinking about the process. We talked about it at length yesterday.
So that means that you don't want extractive industries on the pipeline?
Well,
otherwise, which two are you going to check out?
I'd put extractive in place of common control, and I'd put pensions in place of SMEs.
Yeah, but that is also something we cannot do. We cannot, we have to work with limited resources, but we have already put a lot of effort into business combination of common control. Are we not going to finish that? We do that so often, and it's such a waste of energy and effort. We cannot do that, and it's also very bad for our reputation. So we have to finish things that we have started.
I guess
bring them to closure.
Business combination, Gary's assessment is extremely helpful for us in our discussion here, because I have the same sense as him. We have done quite a lot. We might finish very quite early compared to what we aim to say.
We are not obligated to do the discussion that
they
are. That's right. Let's not kill ourselves with our due process, which should help us and not hinders too much.
Just one thing that strikes me thinking about Gary's comment and looking.
Sorry.
I thought he was.
Where are we now?
Well, being mindful of the time.
Now we have all the time in the world. We have to get to a decent.
Okay.
But
having said that, would it be worthwhile to look at the more of the projects on the supplementary page to? See, bearing in mind that what we're calling the pipeline research projects are those projects which we think we will be in a position to address within the next 5 years. So are there projects here that we think we can safely ignore? Just going down them in order, foreign currency translation. At the moment, that's neither in the pipeline nor on the active agenda. Is on the balance compared to the others, do we think that's a fair assessment?
And these Venezuela problems, they should sort themselves out.
High inflation, we've heard a couple of people today talking about the more focused project, not on hyperinflation but on high inflation itself. Do we think that that's something we want to revisit or discuss with the agenda the advisory council to see if that should be something that we do consider looking at, and we'll decide what level of looking at a later stage over the next 5 years. That is part of the one. Income taxes is one which the staff assessment was that we wouldn't take that on to the board's agenda in any form at this stage, because we didn't think that we would be
agreed
doing anything.
Just one comment.
Why?
Why not?
You've been talking too much.
It's fine. I agree. But as far as disclosure is concerned, I think we have to consult with the advisory council, because the income tax issue, world competition, is a big issue now. And if we didn't do anything, then all of a sudden it will be an issue. So I think we should talk about the disclosure.
You're talking now about country by country reporting?
Not by country by country, but we have is there any possibility that we can, improve disclosure of income tax?
There are several strands in the paper we talked about yesterday.
I propose we don't do anything. That was the recommendation of the staff.
The next one, which is intangible assets, the 2 points to this extract from paragraph 69 of this paper, and that was that we thought that should be separated out from the extractive industries, and also I think the discussion we had, was it yesterday? Thought that this was a very big topic and we shouldn't consider it in the next 5 years. Was that the overall conclusion? We then had the narrow scope amendments that arose in discussions over the last few days. Cash restrictions, which I think was yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think price restrictions is part of the disclosure initiative. I think we're saying that's there already. I think that the part of the discussion you haven't yet had is about whether to look at some broader work on liquidity.
Yeah. Not at this time.
Not at this time.
Okay, so the conclusion is we won't have the broader liquidity. Exchange rates, there were two two high inflation things. One was the exchange rate, where the official exchange rate is unrealistic. And the other, which isn't recorded here, is the comment we had today about high inflation, where we've decided that we would like to address that in 5 years. Pension accounting, the hybrid pension plans, that came up when we were discussing post-employment benefits. And I think the thought that the staff had was that we could assess feasibility when those resources become available.
I thought the staff had suggested a two-track thing, one where we would assess on the longer-term project to look at, and one where they had an idea for a capped approach, which was a short-term...
The recommendation was to look at the feasibility of just looking at the caps, cash flows, and otherwise to do nothing, and if that turns out not to be viable, then to do nothing.
Yeah.
If anything, it has to be that very limited.
Yeah.
So you're asking us, do we think that the looking at the cap plan should be put on the pipeline?
Yeah, and I guess, would you want to do anything broad? I mean, I think Steve indicated yesterday he might want to do something broader, but I think there's two questions.
Why don't you ask those two questions, just so you make sure...
Just a little broader.
First question is the cap
plan. So do you want us to have a look at the cap thing at some point, not necessarily immediately.
This would be adding something on that you hadn't budgeted for.
This is something on the pipeline.
In the pipeline. It's actually discussed in the body of the paper, in fact, I think, but it's not on the table.
But it's not on the schedule.
It's not on your pipeline in the straw man.
Yeah.
Well, at the most, I would say the more limited scope.
I don't know that you have a majority that wants to do the more, even the limited.
But is pipeline, when you said, okay, staff is now starting to look at feasibility, resources? If you have resources, then you're looking.
Yeah.
Then it's pipeline, right? That means pipeline.
So could we see the board members want us to look at that, to do that initial feasibility study for the cap cash flow thing?
When
resources become available.
I agree. Yeah, well, listen, now I think what we're doing now is to look at things that could possibly be added to the pipeline, and what is not going to be added in any circumstances, okay?
Yeah, I just
because if we add three or four things to the pipeline, then that becomes a rather meaningless exercise.
Yeah, I just don't have a sense yet of whether there's sort of three board members who want it or 10 board members who might be interested.
Do you want us to vote?
So ask the question, Peter?
Yes. How interested are you in it?
In the limited scope.
The pension, limited scope of pension.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Which are you
voting? No, I don't. Okay.
And then the final one.
And I'm assuming there probably aren't a majority of you who are interested in doing something broader on pensions.
No.
And then the point that came up today is in the completion of the IFRS 3 PIR, there were a number of issues which were identified, but which there's no work being done on. And my sense this morning was that going to be pursued. Do we want that pursued?
No.
Okay. Then,
is this a permanent rejection?
This is not a permanent rejection. This
they come back.
Our planning for the purposes at the moment of what we're going to do in the next 5 years. If circumstances changed and there was a good reason, you could reassess that. But at the moment, we're assuming that we aren't going to look at these for 5 years, at least. And then the final section.
Well, and I think we're not necessarily going to resurrect them at the time of the agenda consultation, but if people are telling us that there are things we ought to be looking at, then we'll think about it then.
And then the final thing, in agenda paper 24C, which I think was yesterday, we just wanted to point out to you that there were a number of topics which didn't go into the draft work plan which had arisen, which are listed here, and which we think... you're happy that these are not on the work plan for the next 5 years. So if there's any that you thought that should be, speak now, please. No? So from this page, then, we have good support for considering, again, extractive industries. High inflation as opposed to hyperinflation.
So, sorry, April, on extractive activities, are we putting it in place of business combination?
We're just summarising what's come out of this discussion.
Yeah, no.
We're only taking baby steps here. So we've got extractive industries, high inflation as opposed to hyperinflation, and the CAP plan for pension accounting.
Pension, yeah.
And those are the three topics which you think the staff were premature in rejecting in the draft. So for the purposes of a draft which reflects your current thinking, I think there is merit in saying that if we were putting something on an active research project, which we were going to start in the very near future, we have a very constricted resource situation. Not just from, and it's not a question of flowing resources, as everyone says, it's experienced staff, the learning curve to take it up, all that. So if we were to put any of these, I think, on the active research project, we would be in the position that we would have to say which ones did you not want to address so quickly. And the other thing to bear in mind is that if you had more things on the active research projects, if people have said active research projects would go more slowly, which is a criticism that we've had in the past, and we wouldn't be seen to be delivering things in a timely manner. So I think there's a number of reasons why cautioning against overloading an active research project, because from a credibility point of view, we want to be seen to be addressing these in a timely way.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're completely right, and I think we cannot afford to loosen our discipline here. And it's also true, I mean, even hiring people is difficult, and getting them up to steam is difficult, and we need to have sufficient management to take care of that. So I don't think it's, we have to finish the stuff on page 30 first before we can undertake anything new. So I think everything that we are to reconsider has to go to the pipeline.
Hans agreed, but one point I took out of the earlier discussion that I think we should note and follow up is it feels like we've got, of the six projects on active, one has been in hibernation, and that's BizCom under common control. And while I don't necessarily agree with all of what Gary said about ways forward, I think it does point out that it's time to probably step back and assess what the possible outcomes and scale and demands of that project are.
So I would also, in that was something I was going to propose as well, is that I would like the staff to take a look at all these active projects and to see how the timeline can be guarded as or even shortened, or that possibly some parts can be skipped, like a discussion paper, or that an ultimate product, like, for example, review of all these of all the standards, can perhaps be postponed to really see what is it that are the priorities within these projects, and that we get as quickly as possible, so that we also get a better view on when resources become available for the pipeline. So the pipeline is also credibility. Okay, and then so we have three or four issues. One of which is, so extractive industries is a major problem.
Yeah.
High inflation is a smallish one. If we decide we can do it, then it shouldn't be a lot of work. One is pension accounting. I'm not sure. Could that be
the piece that we said we do is smallish.
Small. Yeah. And what we would be doing is assessing whether we can do it as a relatively quick project, and if we can't, then okay. Stop at that point.
And then we have.
That's it. Those are the three.
That's it.
Okay.
Now, if we would add these two, so two of those three are not, I think we could add without much prejudice. But extractive industries is another piece of cake.
Yes.
And can we add that without taking away at least one of the others?
Well, could I suggest that instead of making that decision now, we put it to the advisory council, and then when it comes back, mm-hmm. we have the assessment.
But also, we can add to the pipeline. It just means that maybe we won't get to all of them in the next 5 years.
I think the discipline is good.
Well, we can bring it to the advisory council with the caution that the size of the pipeline is such that it's not likely that all of these projects can be started within the next 5 years. In that light, would you like to narrow it down? And if so, by taking away which projects? Yeah.
In a way, this isn't that far from the staff proposal anyway, because what we'd said was put extractives on inactive, but indicating we thought we'd be unlikely to start in the next 5 years. This is just pushing up a bit and saying we should make more of an effort to see if we can start it in the next five.
I think one way we can have this as an active, that is, can we use Glenn?
He works for an accounting firm, no?
You know, the senior staff from Australia.
Well, let's not get into the details now.
But it doesn't work there anymore.
The staff should also do an exercise as to how can we use the national standard setters to help us get this along.
Yeah, we're going to do that anyway. So.
Oh, perhaps that could be mentioned in the document to the advice of the council, that we're going to see, make a plan as to how to involve the national standards. Okay.
The only other thing was that we were wondering if you had any further comments on the sort of work plan strategy, and I think by and large these discussions have reflected those messages that we received. Perhaps with an extra proviso that we're probably now more focused on a more timely focused response to progressing things, particularly research, rather than a broader breadth of topics being discussed.
Well, listen, in terms of describing the strategy behind this agenda, try to make it a little bit less cut and dry. And for example, don't begin with implementation and consistent application. It's very important, obviously, but our role is limited. And we try to spice it up a little bit for in the presentation to the trustees. Look at that way, which is really putting that central theme of improving communication effectiveness of IFRS, putting that more central, because I really believe that it will appeal to people and it can be a source of inspiration, hopefully.
On the improving communication effectiveness, there's a message in this paper, and this is not disagreement with any of the projects being on the list they're on, that we can do a lot more and make a lot more changes if it's just presentation than we can if it's recognition and measurement. Well, it's true that pervasive recognition and measurement projects may have more systems, etc. I think we are underplaying the significance of some of the costs and effects of presentation. And so let's not appear naive or to be understating the effects of that. I just say, I felt it was oversimplifying.
No, the effects can be are hopefully tremendous.
Right.
But hopefully also the costs for the preparers to do so should be quite limited. If it's a question of reformatting the information that they already have to provide, should be more limited than updating all your systems for a new revenue recognition system.
I agree, more limited, but I don't think they're insignificant. And we seem to be selling it in here as insignificant.
Depends whether we require new information to be disclosed or whether we say if you disclose, then have discipline. And then information is supposed to be available.
But just in terms of how we pitch the strategy.
One point. All the energy they devote to non-GAAP measures, they can devote to their...
One question, this is list of pipeline. Do we proposing kind of priority order of that, or do we discussing it again? Because this question will come up. If you get resources free, okay, what is first, what is second, what is third?
Maybe it is first.
And question is, when we have now discussed all this project, 2-3 days, and then do we set in 1 year again, or do we come up with a kind of priority list now?
Well, what I would imagine is that as we get close to the time when we might want to start one of these things up, then we'll come to the board and say this is the one we're thinking of, or here's the short list of the ones we're thinking of. And
yeah. It depends then on how much capacity is free also. Okay, so
and
we
kind
do
of
now.
People perhaps that you have free.
Yeah. But I think we should, as board members and staff, look harder at the status and potential timing comments, and without making it a short novel, think more about what indications and conditions we flag in there. Because it falls short of priority, but you've also pointed out why we
My point is, if we don't make this priority list, it doesn't matter if we have 5 or 7 projects on that list. That is my point. And you don't have to ask that.
Do you have enough?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
All right.
Well done, pulling it together.